Good evening. I'm your host. Welcome to Gator Swamp News, where the facts arrive neatly pressed and leave with teeth marks.
Hi, and I am your panelist, joined today by our guest.
Hi there. All righty, let's kick this extravaganza into high gear before I lose my mind.
Thanks. All right, let's get to work.
Because apparently, my motivation was just waiting for your permission to kick in.
Sure, here are a few bored but determined one-sentence alternatives. Right, because my motivation definitely needed your approval to show up. Up! Yeah! Let me just switch on my drive now that you've authorized it. Of course, my ambition was on standby until you gave the green light. Got it. I'll activate my motivation since you finally allowed it. Oh, sure thing. My effort was clearly pending your sign off.
Might we move on to a new topic now, if you please?
Centrist Democrats rebuke party's left wing. We are capitalist, not sots, following high-profile primary victories by Democratic socialists. Some moderate Democrats are advocating a different course, highlighting tensions in the party.
Do you think this tension will impact the 2024 elections?
Yes. These intra-party tensions can matter in 2024 mainly by affecting turnout, candidate quality, and message discipline, especially in competitive House districts and a few Senate races. That said, the impact is often overstated. Polarization and views on the presidential candidates tend to dominate, and party factions usually rally late. The bigger risk is if moderates and the left publicly delegitimize each other, depressing enthusiasm or fueling third-party protest votes. When you say impact, do you mean shifting actual vote outcomes in swing seat states or mostly shaping campaign messaging and fundraising? And are you thinking more about the presidential race or down ballot contests?
The intra-party tensions within the Democratic Party are likely to have a more significant impact on down ballot contests rather than the presidential race. While these conflicts can influence campaign messaging and fundraising, their effect on actual vote outcomes is more pronounced in swing districts and states. This is because local issues and candidate-specific dynamics play a larger role in these races, making them more susceptible to shifts in voter enthusiasm or turnout driven by internal party divisions. However, the presidential race tends to be less affected once a nominee is chosen. Though a contentious primary could impact voter enthusiasm and potentially influence turnout, therefore, while both aspects are possible, the more significant impact lies in down ballot contests.
Might we proceed to a different subject now, if it isn't too much trouble?
Oil prices returned to pre-war levels after 4 months. The cost of crude has become a real-time barometer of the Iran war's toll on the global economy.
The stabilization of oil prices could suggest that supply risks are being managed effectively or that concerns about long-term disruptions have diminished, possibly due to adapted production strategies or reduced market fears.
Stabilizing oil prices can reflect improved risk management and fading expectations of major supply disruptions, but it can also be misleading. Prices may be held down by weaker demand, higher inventories, increased non-OPEC output, or traders reassessing geopolitical risk premiums rather than any real improvement in supply security. In addition, spot levels may mask greater volatility or higher insurance of shipping and refining costs that don't show up cleanly in headline crude benchmarks. Which benchmark and time frame are you referring to, Brent? WTI, spot VES, futures, and are there indicators, spare capacity, inventory draws, tanker rates, or options implied volatility that you're using to support the claim that supply risks are truly being managed?
To determine whether oil price stabilization reflects effective management of supply risks or other factors, consider the following one. Has benchmark analysis. Evaluate whether the prices refer to Brent or WTI crude, and distinguish between spot and futures markets. 2. Time frame consideration. Assess the specific 4-month period in question, noting any significant events that might have influenced oil prices. 3. Estimate demand and inventory levels. investigate if weaker demand or increased inventories are contributing to price stability rather than improved supply security. 4. Production adjustments. Determine if production has adjusted to compensate for war-related disruptions. 5. Geopolitical risk assessments. Consider whether traders are reducing geopolitical risk premiums, potentially due to diminished fears of disruptions. 6. Indicator analysis. Spare capacity. Evaluate the availability of spare production capacity. Inventory draws. Examine trends in inventory levels and their impact on prices. Tanker rates. Assess costs associated with shipping and transportation. Options. Implied volatility. Analyze market expectations for future price volatility. 7. Refining and insurance costs. Investigate whether these costs are influencing overall market dynamics without directly affecting crude benchmarks. By examining these factors, we can better understand if the stabilization of oil prices reflects genuine management of supply risks or is influenced by other economic and geopolitical elements.
Might we proceed to a new topic now, if it's not too much to ask?
Demystifying financial wellness, understanding debt to income ratio re. A person's financial well-being is highly impacted by various factors, and one of the fundamental aspects that significantly influence personal finances is the management of debt. This essay will discuss 4 crucial elements related to debt management: debt to income ratio, repayment plan, Saner, and credit report. Firstly, the debt-to-income ratio, DTI, is a financial metric that compares a person's monthly debt obligations to their monthly income. It is a vital indicator used by lenders to assess an individual's ability to manage additional debt responsibly. To calculate the DTI, one must add up all monthly debt payments, such as mortgages, loans, credit card bills, and divide it by their monthly gross income. A lower DTI ratio represents better financial health and indicates that a person has more disposable income to meet their debt obligations. Maintaining a balanced DTI ratio is crucial, as it not only affects an individual's creditworthiness, but also their overall financial stability. Secondly, a well-thought-out repayment plan is essential for effectively managing and eliminating debt. A repayment plan outlines a structured approach to pay off outstanding debts in a systematic manner. It involves setting priorities, identifying the debt with the highest interest rate, and allocating a certain amount of money towards paying off debt each month. By adhering to a repayment plan, individuals can track their progress, make timely payments, and gradually reduce their debt burden. This proactive approach helps individuals regain control over their finances and work towards achieving financial freedom. Thirdly, a co-signer can play a crucial role in obtaining credit for individuals with limited credit history or a low credit score. A co-signer is a person who signs the loan or credit agreement alongside the primary borrower, assuming responsibility for the debt if the borrower fails to make payments. The co-signer's credit history and financial stability are considered by lenders as an additional layer of security. Having a co-signer with good credit can potentially increase the chances of loan approval, lower interest rates, and more favorable terms. However, it is essential for both the borrower and the co-signer to understand the implications of this financial commitment and ensure open communication to avoid any future complications. Lastly, one's credit report is a comprehensive summary of their credit history, including information related to credit accounts, payment history, and outstanding debts. It serves as an essential tool for lenders, employers, and landlords in evaluating an individual's creditworthiness and financial responsibility. Monitoring and regularly reviewing one's credit report is essential to identify any inaccuracies, fraudulent activity, or potential issues that may negatively impact credit scores. By addressing discrepancies and staying proactive in managing credit aspects, individuals can maintain a good credit report and enhance their overall financial well-being. In conclusion, effectively managing debt requires thorough understanding and utilization of various tools and concepts. The debt-to-income ratio, repayment plan, COSAGNA, and credit report all play significant roles in determining an individual's financial stability and ability to manage debt responsibly. By implementing these strategies and being proactive in debt management, individuals can work towards achieving a healthy financial future.
The essay effectively explains four key aspects of debt management: debt to income ratio, DTI, repayment plan, COSIGNA, and credit report. Here's a concise summary of the thought process and insights. One. Debt to income ratio, DTI, calculated using gross income to assess debt burden. DTI helps lenders evaluate creditworthiness. Lower ratios indicate better financial health. But one might wonder why gross income is used instead of net income for a clearer capacity picture. Tuas, repayment plan. The essay suggests focusing on high interest debt, akin to the debt avalanche method. However, considering the snowball method for quicker psychological wins could enhance motivation. Effectiveness may vary based on individual priorities and motivation. 3. Co-center risks and alternative psi. While a co-signer aids in loan approval, it poses risks for the co-signer's credit. Exploring alternatives like secured loans or independent credit building could be beneficial and worth discussing. 4. Credit report monitoring. Regular checks are crucial for accuracy and fraud prevention. The essay prompts consideration of how often to monitor, annually versus more frequently, for optimal credit management. In conclusion, managing debt involves understanding financial metrics, strategic planning, and cautious use of co-signers while maintaining vigilant credit monitoring. Balancing strategies and exploring alternatives could further enhance financial health.
The statement is largely accurate and offers constructive critiques. Gross vs. net income, avalanche vs. snowball, co-signer risk mitigation and monitoring frequency. Though it slightly overstates the essay's depth on lender practices and alternatives, the essay mentions co-signer implications but doesn't really explore options like secured credit or specific monitoring schedules. One nuance: lenders typically use gross income for standardization, but net income can be more realistic for budgeting. So the why gross question is fair, but not necessarily a flaw. Do you want the response to judge the essay itself? Clarity, completeness. Missing caveats like revolving credit minimums in DTI, or to evaluate the summary's faithfulness to the essay? And when you say credit monitoring, are you including credit scores or just the credit report from the bureaus?
The essay on debt management effectively covers four key areas: debt to income ratio, DTI, repayment plan, co-signer, and credit report. Here's a concise evaluation of the thought process. One, chest debt. Income ratio, DTI, the use of gross income for DTI calculation is standardized by lenders to assess debt burden uniformly. However, considering net income could provide a more realistic view of an individual's financial capacity. Two, repayment plans. While the essay mentions tackling high interest debts first, debt avalanche, it also acknowledges the potential benefits of starting with smaller debts for psychological motivation, snowball method. The choice depends on personal preference and what drives an individual to stick to their plan. 3. Co-signer risk and alternatives. The essay highlights the role of a co-signer in obtaining credit, but doesn't fully explore alternatives like secured loans or becoming an authorized user, which could offer similar benefits without the same level of risk. 4. Has credit report monitoring beyond annual checks? Regular monitoring of both credit reports and scores is crucial for detecting errors or fraud. The frequency of these checks can vary based on individual concerns and circumstances. In evaluating the essay itself, it provides a clear introduction to debt management but lacks depth in areas like revolving credit minimums and lender-specific risk assessments. Additionally, while the essay touches on repayment strategies, a more detailed exploration of alternatives could enhance its comprehensiveness. Overall, the essay serves as a solid foundation for understanding debt management principles but invites further discussion on nuanced strategies and alternative approaches to financial wellness.
Might we dispense with this subject and proceed to something new?
USA's struck Iran in retaliation for attack on vessel in Strait of Hormuz. President Trump on Friday called Iran's attack on a container ship transiting the Strait of Hormuz a day earlier, foolish act.
The situation in the Strait of Hormuz is indeed tense due to geopolitical rivalries. The U.S. reportedly conducted a military strike against Iranian targets in retaliation. This escalation could impact global oil markets and maritime security, given the strait's strategic importance. It would be wise to monitor developments for broader implications on regional stability and international relations.
Your summary is plausible, but it leans on reportedly, without pinning down what's confirmed by the U.S., Iran, or independent reporting, and what exactly was struck. Which matters for judging proportionality and likely escalation. The Strait of Hormuz's sensitivity does mean even limited incidents can move oil prices and raise insurance as shipping risks. Though markets also react to spare capacity and whether traffic is actually disrupted. I agree it's wise to monitor developments, but I'd add that rhetorical framing, retaliation, can obscure legal and evidentiary questions about attribution and necessity. Which specific sources are you relying on for the claim that the U.S. struck Iranian targets? And do they specify the targets and whether there were casualties or follow-on attacks?
A fair point. Clarity on confirmed details and sources is crucial. Can you share any specific reports or sources that provide verified information on the incident?
Might we at long last proceed to a new topic?
Americans are feeling better about the economy. Consumer survey shows consumer sentiment rose in recent weeks after plummeting early this year as energy costs soared.
The recent rise in American consumer sentiment despite high energy costs can be attributed to several factors. One, of job market strength, a robust job market with high employment rates and wage growth likely contributes to optimism as job security is a key confidence factor. Two, for us, energy price stabilization. Energy prices may have stabilized or decreased after initial spikes, easing financial pressures on households. Three, as positive economic indicators, the strong performance in areas like the stock market or housing could be influencing sentiment positively. Four, as policy interventions, government actions such as subsidies or tax breaks might have mitigated the impact of higher energy costs. Five, behavioral adjustments dry consumers may have adapted spending habits to accommodate higher prices without dimming their economic outlook. Overall, a combination of these factors likely explains the improved sentiment despite high energy costs.
Those factors are plausible, but the claim feels a bit too confident without specifying the survey timing and what actually moved in the underlying sentiment components, e.g., current conditions, VES expectations, inflation expectations. In particular, positive indicators like stocks or housing don't always translate to broad sentiment. And policy interventions should be backed by concrete measures that affected most households rather than narrow groups. Also, high energy costs may no longer be the binding constraint if gasoline prices fell from their peak or if overall inflation eased, which would better explain the rebound. Which consumer survey is this? University of Michigan Viz. Conference board, and do you have the data on whether real wages, gas prices, and inflation expectations improved over the same period?
Which consumer survey are you referring to? The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index or the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index? Additionally, do you have data showing how real wages, gas prices, and inflation expectations changed during the same period?
That's a wrap for today. Shall we vanish into the ether?
Absolutely. Let's twirl into the sunset with a trail of glitter and forgotten socks.
Okay. Thank you to our panelists. And thanks to you for listening. That's all for now. May your patience be met with progress. Please return soon to see what has quietly taken shape.